Thanks for hanging in there, you guys. We always like to have you check us out on Facebook. And where else, Donald?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
I try to trick him every time.
You know, when you're gone, he doesn't even try to throw it to me for that.
No?
I don't think he has any confidence in me.
Oh, come on, Harry.
To take over that role. It's
well, you should
you
just introduce.
No
you should. You should just introduce. The...
She has her hands full doing what she does, and she does a fantastic job. Absolutely stellar. Would you not agree?
He would feel bad about stumping you, though.
Yeah, if
he
I
would.
If I screwed it up.
Yep.
Yeah. He might let me have another shot at it.
What do we do? We just stop, go back,
all right.
Fix it.
Fix it.
Nobody would know.
And nobody is the wiser.
But he doesn't put me on the spot. So.
Let's talk about this story. This is interesting when it came out.
All right. So I think unless you're under a rock, you may not have heard about this. Archery and hunter ed programs are threatened by the removal of federal funding. Sporting groups across the United States have heavily criticized the Biden administration following the July 31st report that the President and Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, they intended to remove federal funding from hunter education and archery programs for public schools. The National Archery in Public School program currently has more than 1.3 million students each year who participate from 9,000 schools across the country.
Yeah.
Is that not crazy?
Well, when you consider some of the most popular activities in schools now.
Defunding stems from the administration's interpretation of language in the bipartisan Safer Communities Act, a law passed by Congress and signed by Biden in 2022 following mass shootings in Buffalo and Uvalde, Texas. It includes language prohibiting funding from providing training in the use of a dangerous weapon. Funding for such programs was previously earmarked under the Elementary and Secondary Education Act from 1965, which provides funds for schools with hunting and archery programs. The ESEA provides federal aid for both elementary and secondary schools, with an additional $1 billion now coming from 2022 legislation. The National Shooting Sports Foundation was just one of the groups who were quick to provide critical response to that decision. They said in a statement from General Counsel Larry Keene that while the NSSF was neutral on the bipartisan Safer Community Act, there were several provisions that they did support, including enhancing school security. We've become increasingly concerned by the Biden administration implementation of the law. Now, you realize how many... I mean, we've talked about this, Don, where those programs are one of the fastest growing between the archery and shooting and fishing.
We're talking trap.
Trap. They are the fastest growing in the country.
Fastest growing activity, high school sport in the country.
Which, and it beats hockey, it beats everything.
In Minnesota, which is really amazing. I think Minnesota alone's got like 8,000 students participating.
And they said from the NSSF, they said the example is the Department of Education and Secretary Cardona are blatantly misconstruing the law to withhold funding from schools that choose to teach beneficial courses like hunter safety and archery. Congress must hold Secretary Cardona and the department accountable for violating the letter and the spirit of the law to unilaterally deny America's students across the access to these valuable programs as part of the administration's attack on the Second Amendment. Stopping hunter education courses that teach safe and responsible firearm handling makes our communities less, not more safe, and diminishes our ability of pass on to the next generation sports such as hunting and shooting sports heritage.
No, it's unbelievable because, I mean, the beauty of having that. How old were you when you got your gun safety permit?
Well, it's 12 is when you could get 12. First to get it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And every one of my kids, including my daughter, got theirs at 12. I sat through the course in every case with them to make sure they paid attention. I think it's as important as learning how to swim.
Well, this is the dichotomy that's involved with this, Don. So... now you've got every fish and wildlife agency working hard to utilize every scrap of funding. Not only for safety and hunter education, but for the general understanding of why stewardship is so important to the natural resource. So you have the DNR that's trying to get kids to go to hunter safety. They're promoting it. They're the ones that are doing the training for the educators that are doing the training.
Right. They host the program.
Yeah. And now you're telling them that, no, that's not right. How does that make sense?
No, it doesn't.
It's absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah.
Well, the D.C. Sportsman's Alliance claimed in a press release that they were considering legal action and that the U.S. Senators John Cornyn and Tom Tillis recently wrote Secretary Cardona to register their grave disapproval of the administration's decision. The two senator letters said the misinterpretation was neither the legislative intent of Congress nor a plain reading of the text that leads to conclusions drawn by the administration. They said in 2022, 38 states have basic hunter education programs in schools, and over 600,000 students completed the basic hunter program in 2021. 8,891 schools offer the program. 1.3 million students each year participate, and it's a 50-50 male-female ratio of students.
Yep.
Explain how. How can that actually be...
Make sense?
I got nothing.
No.
And the part that irritates me about that is you've got the safest sport ever. You're not finding any kids that are being injured. You're not finding kids, whether it's archery or hunter safety or the trap. They're not traveling to a site for trap. They're not traveling to a site. They use their home area. They compete virtually
until they get to the championship.
And they had, I think it was 20.
No, they had at the championship.
Yeah, it was like 20.
It was a lot.
It was like 2,500.
Well, no, it was 8,000.
Okay.
It was 8,000 participants.
There's different segments of it, but yep. It was 7 days of competition.
Yeah.
And you don't have any issues.
No, they have. I mean, we're speaking Minnesota here, but I think it's nationally, actually. For those programs that have been at the high school level, there has at this point been no incidents.
None.
No injuries. Nothing. And the beauty of it is it's everybody knows I was one of them that I wasn't the athlete that a lot of my buddies were, mm-hmm. That played all the other sports. And shooting can fill that void. And it did for a lot of kids and girls. I mean,
the women and the men compete equally on the same team.
Oh, yeah. It's.
This is a matter of it's muscle, it's eye, it's understanding trajectory. It's a matter of all those key pieces that go together. And
as far as the actual sport, but I think that the training part of it, Eric, to me is about being respectful of the firearms themselves.
Absolutely.
They're trained to know exactly how to handle them so that there's never a problem.
An issue.
I mean, this is the simplest things. You never point a weapon at anybody.
Yeah.
And nothing but blue sky. And they learn that from little on, then they have respect for that firearm.
As you and I have, and Ava, I think, you shot.
No,
you,
yeah, I took the class at 12. And
yeah.
So 9 yards.
I'm going
to
go on
again,
and learn.
Just for refresher.
I'm very passionate about this because I think this is absolutely the most atrocious example of ignorance in politics.
Yeah, wow.
I've seen it happen where they're talking about we need to eliminate automatic weapons. You're not talking automatic weapons. You're talking fully automatic weapons, which is different than a semi-automatic weapon, which is different than... And they don't understand the concept, and they profess that they do. And they talk about these things like, this is the way it... This is it. And then they try to put legislation out that is going to ban these things. This is impacting what is going to impact the future, the kids, and what they're doing. You're eliminating another opportunity for them to enjoy the outdoors with their families. Because, face it, moms and dads, I went hunting with my mom and my dad. Pheasant hunting with my mom and my dad when I was a kid.
Yeah.
They hunted. It doesn't mean that it's always going to happen that way. But in a situation where you have a single parent family, they can go out and participate. They can go out and do this and enjoy it and have... their son or daughter competing at high school level that may not, as you said, they may not compete in any other sport, but they could be unbelievably fantastic at this.
Right.
And I absolutely have no time for this. This is unacceptable, and it's a bunch of crap. And I'm sorry.
This thanks for your opinion. But either it's in reality, I don't know. They're going to get a lot of backlash on that legislation, I'm sure.
The nice part is I pulled a story that has the impact of what this is.
Okay. Even in fact, if it didn't, it wouldn't stop me as a parent from making sure my children got the class.
I agree. Well, tell you what. We are going to have, at the end of the show, we're going to have something that I just pulled off before I came on the air. And it's a story that came from the administration and the pressure that they're getting. So hang tight, you guys. You're going to like this. Stay tuned.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
So, Don.
Yeah.
I'm much calmer now.
Good.
We all took a breather.
Yeah.
Calm down.
About ready to go get the oxygen.
Hey, you know what?
It's good to be passionate about
it. It is, and it's exactly
right. We're normally not opinionated.
Never.
Oh, never.
No.
I don't never have anything. Yeah. But we're jumping into, staying with the hunting format, an idea, the concept.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to go to Minnesota at this point. We're going to look at Minnesota deer hunting season. And some of the new twists as the regulations are now released for this upcoming hunting season. Are you ready for them?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Let me jump right into it. Closer look at the information. There's a bunch of different things on here. One of the notes that I saw that I really wanted to make sure people looked at it. A year ago, there were 456,000 deer hunters.
In Minnesota.
During all the seasons.
Yep. Okay.
They killed approximately 172,000 deer.
There's a lot of losers out there, isn't there?
It's down 7% from the previous year.
Okay. I didn't mean that derogatory, but...
Oh, no, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No. Unfortunately, they didn't get to bag their deer.
Well, and that happens.
Yes.
Okay,
I've been there a long time.
The new pieces and parts that are coming into the deer hunting season coming up. Party hunting is still in the mix. There's a few exceptions, I should say. Members of a hunting party may not tag a legal buck or antlerless deer for any member of their party hunting with a youth license, according to the new regulation.
Okay.
Hunters will be allowed to use crossbows during the entire archery season. And the refresher on what's new and old, crossbows may be used throughout the archery season by a person who has purchased a license to take deer by archery throughout the early antlerless and youth deer seasons by any hunter with a valid license, throughout the firearm deer season by any licensed hunter, through the bear season by a person who has purchased a bear hunting license.
So why do they call it archery and bow?
Because it's crossbow. Different loading method.
Yeah, I know. Why don't you just call it arrow season?
Because I think it's completely different. Archery season is different than a crossbow season.
I thought you just said they were the same. Bear with you.
Crossbows used for hunting must be shoulder fired, must deliver at least 42 foot-pounds of energy at 10 feet, must have bolts, which is an arrow, and be 10 inches long and must have a working safety. There you go.
All right.
Blaze orange requirement. Person with fabric or synthetic ground blind on a public land must have a blaze orange safety covering on the top of the blind that's visible from all directions, or a patch made of blaze orange material that's 144 square inches, 12 by 12, if you're viewing audience.
I was going to do that for you.
On each side of the blind, regulation applies year-round on all public land. Portable stands may be left overnight in certain state wildlife management areas from November 1st through December 31st. A portable stand may be left overnight by a person possessing a license to take deer. A person's leaving a portable stand overnight must have a fixed tag with the person's name and address on it, driver's license number, or the DNR number. A tag affixed must be so it can be read from the ground and must withstand weather conditions. Farm deer, a licensed hunter who lawfully harvests a deer or elk, is not liable to the owner, but they must notify the DNR within hours. If a harvested deer or elk with ear tags or other identification, contact a conservation officer using information. Make sure that that animal is identified. Muzzleloader has changed. They muzzleloaders that are loaded from the muzzle but charged from the breech may be used during the muzzleloader season instead of loading it from the other side. Before, they couldn't consider that. Definition required muzzleloaders to both be loaded and discharged from the muzzle. There you go. Makes sense? Yep. Non-toxic ammunition. Hunters may possess and only use non-toxic ammunition when hunting in special hunt or disease management areas. So there you have it, Donald. So quickly, let's jump into the other
story. Read your rule book.
Here we go. Yep, read the rule book. You can pull it up on thevalleyoutdoors.com. So this story is one I just pulled. The Biden administration has paved the way to reverse hunting archery crackdown after widespread criticism. The Education Department says it will work with Congress to restore funding for valuable enrichment opportunities like archery and hunting.
Well, that backlash didn't take long, did it?
And it doesn't take long at all. They opened the door to reversing the ongoing crackdown. Last month, we reported, obviously, the Bipartisan Safer Community Act was misinterpreted, is what they're now saying.
Oh, sure.
In the most recent example of the far-left push by the Biden administration and Education Secretary, in the name of their partisan political agenda, which is exactly what that was. And, so they introduced a bill. Mark Green, out of Tennessee, chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, Richard Hudson, out of North Carolina, they introduced the Protecting Hunting Heritage and Education Act, which would prevent the Education Department from defunding hunting and archery classes. Thank you very much.
Suppose your phone rang.
What's that?
You suppose the legislator's phone rang?
You think? Welcome to reality, boys and girls. So there's a full wrap for you. That is the Valley Outdoors for this week. Thanks for hanging in there. We appreciate it. Check out the stuff on the website. It's going to help you out what's going on with the new regulations. We are here for Ava, Don, and myself, Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors. Have a great weekend.